Hey guys, we're Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online for your business for less than $500 a month. We have been using the Workplay method to launch visual marketing strategies for businesses all over North America and Europe. If you are wanting to uplevel your marketing, we are giving listeners of the Workplay podcast an exclusive video bonus offer on their first Workplay shoot for free when you DM us the word podcast. This offer is valued at $1,500. And again, we are giving this away for free. To claim this offer, go to @WorkplayBranding on Instagram and DM us podcast to claim this exclusive free video bonus offer valued at $1,500. That is @WorkplayBranding on Instagram. DM us the word podcast. Don't miss out. Welcome to the Workplay podcast, where we deep dive into how to create a visual marketing strategy that actually moves the needle. Take a peek inside the minds of hundreds of Workplay members who have created successful visual campaigns that have generated millions in revenue.
What I find with most of my clients is they actually leverage speaking as a marketing tool to grow their business. So if you have a service, if you have a, let's say, digital product, a membership site, a consulting style package, whatever it is that you sell, if you need to find clients, you need to get your message in front of more people. So if you want to get that offer, if you will, in front of more people, you do it in one of three ways. You can either build your own audience organically. You can do that through social media. You can do that through a podcast, through YouTube. There's all different ways to do that, but you can build an audience. You could buy an audience, which is paid traffic, or you could borrow other people's audiences. And that's my favorite way to do it. So if you have a talk, let's say you know how to talk about your offer in a way that's interesting and exciting for your ideal client, you can just go out to other people's programs, other people's podcasts, other people's events. Just tap on their credibility they already have. If you can create value for their audience in extension to what they already do, then people hear you and then you can monetize it on the back end.
Heather Sager, welcome to the Workplay Podcast.
Hello, I am so stoked to be here.
Oh my gosh, I am stoked that you're here because we're going to be talking about all things speaking, how to make money from speaking, how to use this as a strategy to actually get leads and sales, and then of course, how it pairs together with your visual marketing. So you are the perfect person to talk to. I am so excited. Can you just tell us, give us a rundown of who you are, what your business is, and how long you've been in business?
Yes. Ooh, how long I've been in business. That's never been part of the opening question before. I love that. So I'm Heather Sager. I'm a speaking coach. I work specifically with business owners who have courses, coaching programs, doing consulting, mostly in the online space. So I started my business back in 2018 on the coattails of spending my life on airplanes. So I was doing the combination of, I was an executive at a management company in the healthcare space, and I was traveling all over the world running live seminars, live training sessions. Me and my training team, we were on the road all the time. Like, I was on stages teaching doctors and their teams, essentially. And when I started my business, I thought I wanted to be a professional speaker because that was the coolest thing ever. I'd been hiring speakers at my events for years and I loved it. And I started with it. I started speaking on stages all the time. And then I realized fairly quickly that I had done the whole road warrior thing. And I had my second baby at home. And I said, I kind of like the idea of sleeping in my own bed and being around for all the fun memories. So what would it look like for me to create my own stage? What would it look like for me to leverage speaking like I want to make an impact, but how could I do it differently? And that's when I found the whole online space and realized that, hell, a stage is simply just a platform where you can share your message so you can create your own. You can jump on other people's. There are so many opportunities available for you. And so that's really where I got my start was, how can I help people who are looking for more of a leverage platform to share their message? How could I do more of that? And how can I teach others to do the same?
Oh, I love that. And when you were doing more of that, how did that transition happen? How did you actually get on different platforms and stages to, I mean, like everyone's got to start somewhere. So I'm very interested in how you got into in the door. I think that's always the number one question is how do you get in the door to get on these?
Yeah. Well, okay. Twofold. So with my old company, I think it's really easy for people to be like, bootstrapped it up on my own, which I definitely did. And I also had worked my tail off for a 15-year career building relationships. So in my old world, I had a lot of clients who were really excited about what I was building. And they're like, we could use your help, Heather, with speaking. I hadn't actually technically taught public speaking outside of my employees. I had a very large training team and my responsibility was to make sure that they were performing at their best. So I was teaching public speaking skills every single day in the business. But when I branched off on my own to do public speaking, I had a lot of existing clients in the medical space who were very curious. Now, were they the quote unquote ideal client? No. Because hell, I didn't even know who my ideal client was at the time. Like I was just trying to figure out what was I doing. You'll giggle with me. My very first online launch for courses, I was like, I don't have an online course yet. How about I do a webinar for a live event in Portland? And it was a total flop. It was like a bomb. Don't launch live trainings, like in-person events through a webinar. That's like a terrible idea. But paired with that, I shared the wrong screen and the whole webinar was just atrocious, which was hilarious. But essentially I got scrappy finding my first clients. I found them through like, I think Facebook groups or programs I was in. But for me, the thing that really, really did it for me to find paying clients was referrals. And then I started building relationships as quickly as I could in the online space. And I found some pretty good visible names for clients and I started working with them and then I let them do my marketing for me. So that was one of the biggest ways that I was able to make traction quickly with my programs was I had other people promoting me because they'd experienced my work.
Oh, that's such a shortcut. I don't think people realize. And I know, I'm sure you'll probably talk about that later in the episode on like just your strategy for landing these types of opportunities. But I just want to reiterate, like that is a huge shortcut in business to be able to take other people's audiences, which is why I'm so excited to have you kind of go through the strategy. I am curious, have you always been like this in terms of like, you know, no fear on stages, like that sort of thing.
Okay. I was the shy girl in kindergarten. Let's go like way back to sweet little five-year-old Heather. I kid you not. I still have the report card. You got report cards. They were like little letters of your kindergarten. And it was written to my mom. And it said, Heather is a joy to have in class. If only she would speak out loud. Which makes me giggle so much because now, I mean, I talk all the time. But yeah, I used to be really, really shy. And here's what's funny. This dichotomy is I'm actually a very shy introvert. But when I find something that's really important, I am unapologetic about voicing my opinion. But I'm also pretty choosy around when I open my mouth. It surprises a lot of people that when I attend conferences or if I'm part of a mastermind, I actually kind of hang back in the corner and I observe a lot. Because I will open my mouth if I have something of value to say, or if I'm advocating on behalf of other people, or I'm seeing that other people are not voicing the thing that needs to be voiced in the room. I have no problem raising my hand because it's for the greater good of the room. I'm always thinking about how can I contribute to the experience. So in that regard, that's really where I think I excel. But communication skills have always come fairly natural for me. I'll make the story quick, but when I was in high school, I did a lot of like group projects as we all did. And I was always the person like thrust to be the speaker on behalf of the groups. I didn't really hate it, but I also did not enjoy it. But when I was, 16, 17 years old, my mom was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. It's a mouthful to say, but essentially her breast cancer had metastasized to her liver and it was terminal. And I'm the youngest of six kids. And so my house was really noisy growing up. And I was the only kid still left at home. And I remember that last few months of her fight with cancer. It was like a big time. I'm a senior in high school trying to be all adulty, but also at the same time having this pretty traumatic thing at home. And my brothers and sisters all got together and they formed a nonprofit organization in honor of our mom. And it was something that they presented at Christmas to her as her very last Christmas gift. And it was like whole thing around it is my mom was doing a lot of holistic and natural remedies to help aid how she felt through cancer. And they were just not common back in 2000, 2001 when this was happening. So we started this foundation so that we could raise more awareness on it. And then what happened was after she passed away, we started doing a lot of fundraisers. And I found my voice very quickly. I started doing a lot of fundraising on behalf of the organization. I started doing a lot of networking. I started doing a lot of volunteering for sister organizations like the Komen Foundation and the American Cancer Society. And I found that some people feel super comfortable in the spotlight and they are drawn to it. Like they want to be that person who has the jokes and MCs and always is like that front person. But that wasn't me. So some people are drawn to it. Others, I believe firmly, are called into the spotlight. And that was definitely what happened to me, was that was like the pinnacle moment as I became an adult. I learned that, you know, when you have something of importance to talk about, you better get over your fears and start doing it more courageously. And that really was where I got my start at speaking in a more professional capacity.
Oh, wow. I mean, first of all, that is such a big realization. And I do find that through experiences, especially traumatic ones, especially ones that involve loss, like you find the path so much quicker. And like, yeah. it's clear because you're forced into that clarity, I think, even faster.
Yeah.
As far as you talked about being called to something. And when I think about even my own business journey, it took me a few years to figure out what the mission was of the company, what we were going to be passionate about, the values. Like, how do you find that calling quicker if, you know, you don't have an experience that profoundly has shaped you, or you're really still trying to figure out your business in general, and like you don't have a perspective yet on like, this is going to be our point of view, and this is where we're, you know, is there still a way to make an impact with your voice when you're still figuring out the vision for your company, or you're just starting out?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's Steve Jobs who has the famous quote. If I butcher this, my apologies, Google it. It's really good. But he talks about how you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking back. And I think this is something that every single business owner needs to take to heart, especially if you have expertise or some kind of experience and you want to share that with others. Because myself included, but pretty much every one of my clients that I talk to, they're still not entirely positive what their calling is, what that thing is. I think we're all just fumbling our way into it. And what I think I do really well, and I teach my clients to do well, is how do you connect the dots on things for people? So for example, that story around my mom, I never knew that was, I knew it was part of my story, but I would have never drawn that connection and phrased it like I say it so eloquently now. That is 20 years, legitimately 20 years in the making. I always look back and said, okay, I have some weird experiences from running a photography studio to competing for Miss America to running a nonprofit to trying my hand in life insurance. Failed that exam, didn't work. I was a barista. We all list these weird career experiences, and it's easy to look back and be like, what do they have in common? Most people are not able to find that through line and that thread. And I think for anyone just starting out, take the pressure off yourself to try to create meaning in all of it. Don't try to copy what you see somebody do online, how they have this really wonderful weave in, how all these things just seemingly make sense. They had to figure that out. So what I like to tell people instead is know your stories. And what I mean by that is you don't have to be a really incredible storyteller, although, I mean, it's a skill you should cultivate, but you need to understand why you're telling stories. What's the lesson in the story that you can pass on to someone? I would start getting good at just saying, okay, what do I want to teach? And then where did I get that experience? Where did I learn that lesson I want to share? And then share the story where you learn the lesson and then pay the lesson forward. And what you'll find, I would say it's similar to like a recording artist. They publish an album. I mean, I think they still call it albums these days, but they're all digital now. But you have this whole record come out, right? And some of them are going to land better than others, right? There's going to be the ones that get airtime that people become obsessed with. And those are the ones that hit the radios, become the greatest hits. And those are the ones that remember for years and decades. Well, as a business owner, when you get more comfortable using your voice, talking about things over and over again, I want you to think about it as you're publishing all these different stories, all these different lessons. Think about it like a record album. Not every one is going to be great. Some of them are going to be your little pet artistry project that you freaking love, but it wasn't going to get any airtime. And that's okay. Pay attention to the ones that are getting the best feedback. Those are your greatest hits. As a business owner, the more that people are telling you, I love what you said here. Oh my gosh, that really resonated. Pay attention to what people tell you back. That feedback oftentimes shines the light around the thing that you can't even see. That very well could be your gift of what you're called to talk about.
Ooh, that's so good. And I'm connecting so many similarities between your philosophy in storytelling and speaking to how people are creating visuals in the Workplay Method, because it's the same idea. It's like, you want to keep doing it. You want to keep trying at different visual storylines to see what hits and what really speaks to your people about a certain product or service. So it's like the same synergy here, which I love.
Yes.
Going into that, let's talk about the actual strategy of, speaking and getting out there in this way. How does speaking really allow someone to create leads and sales in their business? Let's just start off like umbrella concept it here, and then we'll go deeper.
Yeah, we have to connect the dots on this. This is one of the big mistakes that I see a lot of newer business owners make. They see other people getting more visible, doing podcast episodes or speaking at virtual summits, or maybe they see people get asked to speak at an event or a bonus inside a group, or you just see people out there speaking and you hear someone somewhere say, you got to get more visible. You have to get out there in front of more people. And there is truth to it, but I'm a big fan of saying, but how am I going to get a return on my time investment? This is one of the things I think I do really well in my business. I'm a mom of now three. I have a brand new baby here at home. And so my time is very, very tight. I don't work full time. I work maybe 16 hours a week. So I have to pack a punch that everything that I'm doing has to be kind of directly correlated to some kind of revenue activity. So the question is, how do you make speaking drive revenue in your business? Well, there's a couple different ways that you can do that. You can, if you have a really good talk, if you build what I call a signature talk, and you know how to tell the stories, you know how to create that thread line, you know how to create tangible value for an audience and you're entertaining along the way, you can get paid to speak. I mean, professional speakers, it's a really great business model. It is not my business model, but there's a lot of people out there who do professional full-time speaking. Now, there's one business model around that. You can do that in corporate. You can do that at organizational events. You can do that at corporate, like events. There's all different ways that you can get paid to speak. What I find with most of my clients is they actually leverage speaking as a marketing tool to grow their business. So if you have a service, if you have a, let's say, digital product, a membership site, a consulting style package, whatever it is that you sell, if you need to find clients, you need to get your message in front of more people. So if you want to get that offer, if you will, in front of more people, you do it in one of three ways. You can either build your own audience organically. You can do that through social media. You can do that through a podcast, through YouTube. There's all different ways to do that, but you can build an audience. You could buy an audience, which is pay traffic, or you could borrow other people's audiences. And that's my favorite way to do it. So if you have a talk, let's say you know how to talk about your offer in a way that's interesting and exciting for your ideal client, you can just go out to other people's programs, other people's podcasts, other people's events. Just tap on their credibility they already have. If you can create value for their audience in extension to what they already do, then people hear you, and then you can monetize it on the back end. So there's a bunch of different ways that we can dig into that, but you have to make sure you line up that arrow and say, okay, how does this thing that I'm talking about ultimately connect to what I sell? So you can't talk about random things. You have to talk about something strategic.
So obviously I know that we can't get into like the depths of the signature talk fully on this episode just for the sake of time, but what are some like key points that we need to have on the signature talk to make sure the through line is actually happening to, you know, our time and what we're talking about to our actual business?
Yeah. So you want to make sure the topic and the content you put in your signature talk aligns directly to what you're selling. That is the most important thing. Now, this sounds so simple and it probably sounds fairly obvious, but I cannot tell you how many times when I sit down with speakers and go through their presentations, how their topic really has little to do with what they sell. And here's why they do it. Typically, some internet marketing guru somewhere told you that in order for you to develop demand and desire for your offer, you have to create a bridge. And it's this bridge. And so have you heard this before, right? Build a bridge to develop more desire. And then your person starts crossing it and then they want to work with you. And it's all really a great analogy. I mean, I love me an analogy, but it leaves everyone freaking confused of saying, but what do I talk about? How do I create this gap for my person? Like, I can't wrap my head around it. So I'm going to introduce this to a little different part of a metaphor. Okay. I don't view that there is a bridge or some kind of gap between you and your audience, because the whole assumption of that is that your audience actually understands their problem and they understand what they want. And the truth is, they don't actually know what they want because they don't even know the whole context of their problem. They are having all these symptoms of some kind of problem, but they don't really know what's causing the problem. Otherwise, they would have freaking solved it by now. So what I like to give is a metaphor is your signature talk accomplishes this one job, and it gets your ideal person over what I call the messaging mountain. And essentially it's this: you're on this other side of a mountain where you're in this happy land with all your happy clients who have implemented your method or your framework or whatever else. And they are living up all of the wonderful positive side effects of what it is that you teach. They've gotten the transformation, they've gotten the results, and they're very happy. On the other side of the mountain is like the hopelessness of all the people who have not yet discovered how to get to the other side, right? But they can't see you on the other side of the mountain. They can hear you. They can hear all these things of like, look how great it is over here. Look, it's so easy. Come on over. I'm going to give you some tips. I'm going to tell you all these things. But in front of them on their side of the mountain, they're going, yeah, but I have to do these other things first. Or no, I can't do that right now because of insert all these other things. Or they're saying, yeah, but, and they have a whole list of reasons why they can't listen to you yet, or why right now is not the right time, or why all these excuses come up. And it's because their vantage point is so different than yours. Have you ever heard of the expression, you can't read the label from inside the jar?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've experienced that expression as well.
Yes. It's this whole idea around like, you can't, as an expert, it's really hard for us to understand. So coming back to your question around, okay, what do we have to build our signature talk about? Your signature talk needs to meet your ideal customer where they are and talk about something that they actually care about, as in right now, not something like later down the road. It needs to come into what are they actually talking about right now? What is their problem right now? So one of the biggest functions, let's get geeky here for a moment. Your signature talk, one of the sections, there's five sections that should go in a talk. The second section is the most important. I call it the why section. And the why section creates context for your audience that gets their head nodding. They have to have this, what I call the head nod effect, where they're nodding their head going, holy shit, she gets me. Oh yes, that's me. That's my problem. That's exactly what I want. The, oh my gosh, you're in my head. Or, oh my gosh, I've never considered it that way before. Or, oh, that's why I'm not making progress. That your talk has to accomplish those things. So down to the content you include, to the stories you tell, to the method you choose to talk about, all of those things attack those head nods in a good way so that they can finally start taking steps up the mountain and get to the top where they can see what it is you're talking about and they can make a logical decision around whether or not they want to like go with you further, trudging on your side of the mountain.
Okay. I love that. And then as far as getting on these stages, it's one thing to create the talk. It's another thing to actually get on the stage. how are we getting on these stages? How are we making this happen?
How do we do this? Okay. So, I mentioned I like metaphors. So imagine you have never run a day in your life and you decided, oh, I want to run a marathon. Would you start by running a marathon? Probably not. So yeah. I like to liken speaking and the skill of speaking to running a marathon. So if your ultimate goal is like, Heather, how do I become a professional paid speaker? How do I get 10 to 15 grand for a keynote session? Well, we're not going to start there. We need to build our way up to it. So what I like to tell people is, so one of the first things we do inside my program is I make every single one of my clients book what I call a beta talk. And essentially it is a deadline to say, you're going to build a talk in this really effective talk structure to get the head nods. You're going to build it. It's going to be different than how you normally build talks before. But in order for you to actually get it done, you need to create a deadline. So you need to book a beta talk. And so let me just teach you the easy way to do it. And anyone who wants to book a talk, they can use it. I call it the adjacent pitch strategy. One of the things that most people are really uncomfortable when it comes to pitching is the fear of rejection. It doesn't feel good to be like, hey, Lyric, can I come on your podcast? Like, oh, awkward. We know each other. But if I were to pitch you and you were to say no, it puts us in a really awkward position, right? And that's what we want to avoid. It's just, let's take off the awkwardness. So what I tell people, come up with just your idea of what you want to talk about. You don't even have to know what exactly is in the talk. You just need to get yourself on the hook. So you're going to send a direct message to someone that you know, ideally someone who has an aligned audience or has connections. And you're going to say something like, hey, just out of curiosity, I'm putting together a new training on, insert the topic. I'm just curious, do you know anyone who has an audience that might benefit from this message? Here's what I've heard a little bit about people who've learned it in the past. And just give a little like, this is the transformation they get, or this is why this kind of person loves it. And then just say, hey, do you know anyone who might benefit from this message? It sounds so freaking cheesy, but it works. The person's either going to reply back and be like, oh yeah, I know someone. Or they're going to say, oh my gosh, my group would be perfect. You want to speak to my group? Or they're going to say, ah, dang, how cool is that for you? I don't know anyone right now, but I'll keep you in mind. All three of those replies are going to make you not feel like crap, to which you can try it again. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, well, none of those are paid. They're not. The whole point is, don't worry about booking talks that are paid right now. Is if you want to use speaking as a marketing tool, you need to start putting in the reps to practice. How does it feel actually structuring a talk? How does it feel to show up and give a talk? Am I connecting the dots in my call to action on the talk and seeding my credibility and sale throughout the talk so that people end it by going, how can I work with you? Do you want to practice with that? So book some low risk stages, some peer opportunities, even if they're not your perfect fit client. Don't worry about that so much. You need to start building your skills. And the more you do it, it's like the speaking snowball happens. You'll start building momentum. The more talks you book, the more talks you'll book. That's how you book more talks, as you start showing up and doing it.
Such good advice. And I always feel for my own business, for Workplay Branding, when we're doing something new, when we're implementing a new thing, we don't want the big stage yet. Like, we don't want to, we know that there's things in between where we're at now and that big stage that we're going to want to optimize so that when we are on the big stage, we're going to optimize it and it's actually going to be worth the time. So I love that you say that. I don't think people think about all of the stuff that they might not know or they haven't figured out because they haven't tested yet.
Yeah. I love that you said that. That is one of my biggest regrets of my private clients. So I don't work a ton on one-on-one anymore. Everything is done through my group program, but I do take a handful of private clients and they're usually the ones that reach out and be like, holy crap, I just booked a big ass opportunity. And they're freaking out because they haven't had that in-between experience. And so they're heavily investing in a speaking coach. They're heavily practicing and they're going in with a really good talk, but they always come back and say, I wish I would have started on this earlier. I wish I would have practiced this talk on actual stages more times. So that's always the gift they give to other people is if you have a bigger goal of speaking on stages, put in the work and speak on the smaller stages now so that you feel more confident and you've tested out that message, to your point. Like, that is just brilliant, brilliant feedback.
I love that. I love that. And so I want to go into, for everyone listening that is inside of the method or thinking about joining Workplay, I want to go into how we can actually optimize a brand shoot to amplify this strategy. So if someone's like, hey, this is exactly what I need to be doing. I need to craft my signature talk. I need to start pitching people. I have a photo shoot coming up. What do I do? So I know that there's, you know, like a speaking kit that you typically give, you know, any kind of speaking opportunity. There's like slide decks. I'm just trying to think of all of the different assets that you would need for a signature talk, speaking on a stage. And I would love for you to kind of walk us through what we need to be thinking about for our next Workplay brand shoot in terms of like shot lists and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. I have an outside of the box idea, or maybe it's not even outside of the box, but this is something that I wish all of my clients and students would have. And the gap they have is like, oh, they don't have a professional brand shoot coming up. So they have to figure this out. And it's, you need to have footage of you actually speaking. So the number one thing, like if I could make only one request at all, if you want people to see you as a speaker, show people that you're a speaker. And the best way you do that is through photographs. Now you're probably thinking, well, okay, but like, does that mean I need to like put a group of people together and put together like a fake talk? If you can, yes, do that. But also you can do this without an audience. So this is something that I used to do all the time. I would bring my company brand photographer with me when I was hosting events. Well, I would just jump on stage and be like, take photos of me. And if there wasn't a stage, I would pretend like I was talking to someone and just get, I mean, it takes 5 minutes just to gesture. You also could bring like your phone and a tripod and do like you're talking to your video. Just get B-roll, get photos of you talking to your webcam, talking to a camera, talking to a phone camera, bring a microphone, talking, show if you want to speak on podcasts. If you want to speak virtually, bring that tech equipment and show you speaking, get B-roll of you speaking. And you could just be saying, yada, yada, peanuts and shoelaces. Like you don't actually have to be saying anything of substance, but you do want to look like you're authoritative and you're comfortable in front of a group. Because here's the problem. If somebody hears, oh yeah, they respond to your adjacent pitch and they're like, oh, that's great. Can you send me some information? You're going to go, crap, I don't have any information. But if you had a speaking page on your website, which don't quite crap your pants over this, but it doesn't take that much. Slap up a page, put it's like your about page or put a little section on your about page with a photo of you speaking with the topic and use ChatGPT to come up with a description for it until you've actually done it before, right? Fake it till you make it in this scenario. Get it up there. If you want to get paid to speak, you need to show that you do. And sometimes, just like when I started my business, I pretended I had an assistant by signing. Jamie Kern Lima talks about this, the billionaire who had It Factor Cosmetics. She used to do this. She used to sign her middle name as her assistant. Fake it till you make it. This is an example of that. Some people hate that phrase. I say freaking just go with it. So get photos of you speaking. That is the number one. Now, number two, you want to, especially if you're doing virtual type of work, you want to use your face and your branding on as many things as possible. Your slide decks, for sure. Have a really well-defined speaker one sheet, as you mentioned. You want to have really great photos, good headshots for when you speak. Now, one thing I would say is do your research and Google a bit or pay attention to Facebook ads where you see those lineups where they have all those faces mashed up for the big summits or big conferences. Next time you see one of those ads, screenshot it. And just pay attention to how the photos look. You'll notice the ones that are professionally done or the ones that you can tell are iPhone photos that kind of stand out and don't look like they necessarily belong. You want to look expensive. You want to look fancy. You want to look like you're in the ranks with Jenna Kutcher and Russell Brunson and some of the other big names. You might not be there yet, but act as if. So you want your photos like that. So you're going to want to have a headshot that can be completely cropped out so they can put you on that mashup. You're going to want to have direct camera. You're also probably going to want to have a more personality packed punchy photo so that you can have something fun instead of a basic headshot on podcast interviews. Mm-hmm. Have a variety. When you speak at other people's on other people's stages, know that they're going to want to choose a photo. So for example, for me, I'm going to have more of like a fun photo. And then I actually think I have like 4 or 5 photos in my brand kit. So the host can choose the photo that fits the vibe of the interview and the interview of the show. So give them different assets. Let's talk PowerPoint. You mentioned that before. So the slide deck. I'm going to say this carefully. I'm not a huge fan of people who put just all of their own brand photos on their slides, specifically when you're speaking at events in person. I'm going to go off on a little bit of tangent here, but you are speaking at a live event and somebody has like all their like, look at me with my coffee, look at me with my journal, look at me with my hand on my chin. And it's, they're on stage and it's on the slides. It's beautiful. And sorry, it's a little weird. And here's why. When you're speaking live, you as a person are the presentation. Your slides should be extra backdrop, whether it's a big bold quote, whether it's a visual of some sort, you want them to be very secondary. The more visuals you add on your slides, the more you're going to take the focus from you and on the slide deck. And a slide deck could have been a PDF. They want to talk. They want an experience. So when you're speaking live, make your visuals minimal. But when you're speaking virtually, this is where it's different. Virtually, most people, when they're doing screen share software like Zoom or pretty much anything these days, your little face is like this tiny baby nugget in the corner. So they're not getting much of you. And unless you have something like Ecamm or other like software where you can control the screen size more, you're probably going to be sharing slides. So this is where you can put your personality in. If you want to use your brand photos, if you want to use more graphics, make your slides sexier and really branded on you, because they're going to be staring at it. So that is the exception of if you're going to use really good brand photos, think about how they would go on a slide. You don't want to have a bunch of photos of you cropped in close. You probably want to have some photos of like over your shoulder with your hands with a prop. Or think about how you would use these photos, but you wouldn't want an entire slide deck to be just you smiling. So think about what that could look like. But that would be for sure, if you're doing guest speaking, have a look in your brand visuals.
Oh, I love that advice and such a good pro tip on speaking in person versus virtually. I never thought about it like that, but that's so true and so correct. You talk a lot about, or you did, you mentioned looking luxury. And I think luxury looks very different to different people. Like, it's subjective. What does that actually mean? Looking luxury. Is there a certain like type of wardrobe we need to be wearing? Is there a certain pose that has to, you know, happen in order to portray luxury? Like, what do you see in the speaking world that like really shows luxury in someone's visuals?
I love that you gleamed onto this thing. I talk about a lot of things, right? And you do a really good job mining for, ooh, that moment. Let's go in on that. So, okay, I'll preface this by saying you have to know your brand, right? And that's like the whole premise of what you all teach and what you help people with is getting really good at what is your brand and then how do you exude your brand visually. Now, what we have to understand, I'm going to go back to the revenue model. So remember earlier when we were talking about, okay, how do you actually make money? What is the thing that you sell? Now, for someone like me, I am a high ticket coach. So I need to make sure that when I'm communicating and when I am presenting at an event or something else, like I'm bringing a more higher caliber content. I bring it with realness, but you have to think like the substance has to match. Now, when I do brand shoots, right, the visuals have to look, I won't say like over the top expensive, right? But they have to look high quality. People see that in the visuals. Y'all know this. Y'all follow this podcast. This is why we're here. So what you have to decide first though is what is your brand personality? And then how can the photos for speaking relay that? Now, one thing that I'll say with this is I think there's this idea that in order for us to be polished and professional on stage, we have to be kind of cold and sterile, if you will. It's kind of a weird term, but it's one thing I see a lot when it comes to speaking. People who got their skills in corporate, they think they have to use like really professional language. And most audiences hate super professional language. So you got to know who your audience is. You got to know who you're speaking with. But I look at professionalism as like a dial where you have a version of you that is super professional, where you're going to crank that all the way to the right. That's my persona that I'm going to use when I'm at like a very corporate boardroom style speaking gig. I have headshots that fit that bill. I don't use those very often. I do not publicize those online, but I have those for when I do book like corporate finance style presentations. For the most part, I turn that dial down where I keep my professionalism high, but I'm more playful and have my personality. So most of the photos that you see in my brand are going to have me wearing clothing that you would typically see me wear online. I'm not wearing something different in my shoots. I'm not trying to be like glam whatever because, oh, it's a photo shoot. I'm going to be so glamorous. I want them to see me in my imagery as they would see me in a speaking gig. So I'm wearing very consistent clothing. I do get my hair and my makeup done, but I don't get them on overkill glam. I get them done like I would if I were speaking on a stage. So there's congruency in that, but it doesn't mean that you have to do all these things. For me, that's what's important to my brand. I like having my hair curled. I like wearing lashes. I like wearing makeup, but I balance that. I don't wear those things every day. So my online content when I'm on video isn't always like that, but my brand shoots are. So it's knowing that about yourself, but you always comes back to what is your offer that you're selling. And the question would be is this, when I look at the visuals, do I trust this person is going to deliver on the transformation they're talking about? And if there is an incongruency between the visuals and the promise, then you're going to have a little bit of skepticism in. So just make sure your visuals are on par with whatever it is that you're offering.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And the visuals can really help dial in the perception of how other people perceive you. And you get to narrate that really well in the Workplay Method. But when you know this and you're applying these strategies, it's even more important because this is another way to expand. And when we're expanding and our visuals are expanding, we have to make sure it's congruent with everything. So I love that you say that.
Yeah.
And this is getting my wheels turning because I'm, you know, at heart a very creative director, like, you know, visual strategist. And I'm just thinking when you're saying, hey, like there's, you know, you could speak at corporate, but you could also speak virtually, but you could also speak in person. I almost wonder if like Workplay members could have like three different sections of their shoot after they figured out where do I want to be speaking and kind of dial in, okay, this type of talk for this type of clientele, I'm going to use these visuals. So the first half of my workplace shoot is going to be centered around that. And then like the second half is going to be more of like my fun, like, you know, this is more my jam. And then like, you get to be very specific with what you're creating on different parts of the shoot to adhere to this strategy.
I love that. You just had to instantly, there's four I just came up with as you said that. I'm like, this is how I would separate the brand shoe. Now, what it comes back to is what kind of speaking do you want to do? Okay. So let's imagine I'm going to give you four different types of speaking that you might want to do in your business. So number one is the keynotes, right? So a keynote is you, like you're going to be glammed up a little bit more, maybe wearing like a sexy pantsuit or like some kind of like power outfit. And you're going to want to be on stage. So figuring out you on a stage, this might be hard to pull off, but if you can have, even if it's like the corner of a hotel lobby and you can like fashion some of the chairs to make it look like a set a bit and stand and deliver a keynote, you want those like power pieces and then the headshots to go with keynote worthy stuff. That's one area. The second thing is workshop. So could you have a friend join you in the shoot or a couple other people where you could be presenting to a small group? Could you be like bent? This is going to sound weird, but hopefully you follow me. Bending over at a table, like writing on something with them, like literally workshopping, whiteboard, flip chart, something like that to signal interactive. People find my shit very valuable. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I apologize.
No, you totally are.
I should have asked that question before. This is an example of my brand personality says shit. Yours might not. So take it as you will. But with that, with the workshop, you're thinking like, okay, I want to show that not only am I a great speaker, I help people get results. You pull out a whiteboard or a flip chart or even like a Sharpie with white pieces of paper and start drawing different shapes. that looks like. You know how to put things on paper and make stuff happen. So get photos of that. So we have our keynote, we have our workshop. Our third type is your virtual. This is where you're going to pull out your laptop, a webcam, a tripod, your phone, get all of these things of you saying, look at me, I speak virtually all the time. This is normal. I'm not awkward on video. Go me. You want to have all of that footage, right? In both photos and video, get the B-roll all day long. Do not worry about doing direct to camera talking. Like, let's not even talk about what you're talking about. We're just pretending that you're talking. And then the fourth piece is podcast. So if it's important to you, get some of those headphones. That seems to make it look like we're professional. Headphones, get a microphone. You could probably even rent this stuff for the day. I won't recommend that you buy it and return it. I'm going to let you make those decisions, but get yourself on podcast equipment. Do not let any excuse happen that you don't have the money for it. Borrow your child's karaoke microphone if needed. No one's going to be nitpicking or critiquing it, but keynote, workshop, virtual, and podcast. If you had visuals for all four of those, you now look like a legit speaker. Now you got to practice to make sure that you are a legit speaker and actually can bring the value with it. But there you go. You have a shot list.
Ooh, oh, that's so good. It's so good. It's so tangible. And this is so easy for your workplace team. If you hand us over that information for us to create, you know, four different shot lists across the entire day. Cause I mean, you're shooting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's so many. If we can structure the shoot to have these four different sections, then you can get even multiple different scenes and different looks for each of those things. So you have a variety. And then you can come to Heather and be like, hey, I'm visually ready. Now I'm ready to, you know, get my speaking gigs on. I love this. I love this. Heather, can you talk to us a little bit about your program, where we can find it, how we can, you know, get immersed in your world?
Yes, I love that. Thank you for the opportunity for sharing and for being here today. So my program where I help business owners make their voice their best brand asset using it as a marketing tool to not just get on stages, but get clients from stages. It's called the Speaker Society. And inside it's where I help business owners really nail their message, but then magnetize it. So inside, I help them get all of their ideas and their brilliance out of their head, choose their signature talk topic, and then learn how to build a super effective signature talk. This becomes that greatest hits playlist I mentioned at the top of the episode. That is what your signature talk is. It's all of those like great notes that you can hit, you know, reliably. Whenever and wherever I show up, I know what to talk about. I know that my message is on point. I know it resonates with my ideal person. You're done with that whole, like, what should I talk about? Or the horrible vulnerability hangover that most people do after they speak, where they nitpick and second guess every story they told or everything that they said. And they just wonder, like, was it good? No more of that. So we build the signature talk, and then we have the systems and playbooks to help you speak on the types of stages that are important to you. Whether you're looking to speak on more podcasts, more panels, whether you want to get on summits, whether you want to get paid to speak and do corporate workshops and do consulting on the back end, we have a playbook that helps you identify what those opportunities are and then a system to help you get booked. And then what we do is a rinse and repeat model, where we call it Amplify, where we go through this process where our speakers book, they go through and they debrief it, they after they deliver it, then they learn, okay, what specific things do I refine so that next time I can get bigger results? And that's what we do inside of a Speaker Society. So if you want to learn more about what we do and see if maybe a signature talk could help you get your marketing out in the world to more people, just head over to heathersager.com. You can find all the information about it and also the latest of all of my resources that I have, a couple, including what we talked about today, like my How to Choose Your Sweet Spot Speaking Topic. I have a guide for that. And I also have a guide to help you with specific strategies to help you turn free speaking opportunities into paid ones.
Oh, oh my gosh. Well, I am heading over there right after this podcast. Thank you so much, Heather. Where can everyone connect with you? You know, other than the free gifts.
Yeah. Well, since y'all listen to a podcast, that might be the best place to connect. I have my own podcast. It's called Hint of Hustle. And it's the concept is I believe the time you spend on stage in your business should give you way more freedom and flexibility off stage. So if you enjoyed this conversation, my kind of like rambling / metaphorical presence, you'll love my podcast. It's a lot of fun. So Hint of Hustle. And then my favorite social platform to hang out is Instagram, where you can watch me fumble my way through short form video. As you can tell, I'm not a short form anything. I am a long form content person. So we have a lot of fun over there on Instagram.
And isn't your podcast like top 100?
It broke. Okay, it's not anymore, but for a short hot minute, it was in the top 100 marketing podcast over the weekend, which was awesome. But it is in the top, I think it's like the top 1.5% of podcasts globally, which is pretty cool. So it's the little show that could. I love it. I love podcasting. It's my favorite media form for sure.
I mean, that just shows you that it is worth listening to. I mean, especially if it's climbing, you know, the charts like that. I am so happy that you were able to come on. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad this worked. And I am so excited to hear anyone who uses the tips and stuff we talk about today. If you use an adjacent pitch or anything like that, send me a message. I want to hear it. I always want to hear how people are making a ruckus out in the world.
Yes, I love it. This episode of the Workplay Podcast is brought to you by Workplay Branding, a visual marketing company invested in changing the way you create content online. In 2019, they revamped the Workplay method and have been using this exact process to launch businesses' visual marketing strategies all over North America and in Europe. Head over to workplaybranding.com to learn exactly how you can launch your visual marketing strategy and cohesive brand for less than $500 a month.